Welcome to the Personal Financial Planning Section podcast, delivering insights from experts on tax, retirement, estate, risk management, investment planning, and practice management, designed to help you best serve your clients and take your practice to the next level. I'm your PFP section host, Sarah Bradley. Be sure to visit us at aicpa.org/PFP and stay tuned at the end of the episode for information on how to access valuable resources. And now over to our guests.
Thank you, Sarah. This is Bob Keebler, and we're here to talk about the inverted yield curve and today's low interest rate environment. Joining us today is Professor Robert LeClaire. Dr. LeClaire holds a PhD in finance from Northwestern University and a BS in finance from the Wharton School.
A pleasure to be with you.
Well, we are thrilled to have you. And today's topic is the economy and all the excitement about the inverted yield curve. So let's start with the basics. What is an inverted yield curve?
Bob, an inverted yield curve, maybe it'd be better to say what's a normal or typical yield curve, is where short-term interest rates are lower than long-term interest rates. But an inverted curve, which tends to be relatively infrequent and short-lived, is one where short-term interest rates are higher than long-term interest rates. So it sort of turns the curve a bit on its head.
So right now, short-term money invested for, say, 6 months is going to get a greater return than money invested for, say, 5 years or 10 years?
2 years, 5 years, maybe as far out as 10 years. Right now, the yield curve is relatively flat, so there's not much of a difference, not much of a spread, as the word goes, between short-term rates and long-term rates. But right now, some short-term rates are higher than longer-term rates, which is typically illogical.
Now, at the same time, rates are low, but put this in perspective. What is the significance of an inverted yield curve?
Historically, an inverted curve has tended to be followed by a recession in the economy. So the excitement, and you use that word, the excitement comes from people who are concerned or worried that we're about to enter into a recession. But personally, I don't think that's likely to happen anytime soon.
So what you're seeing when you look at the big picture is a strong economy, but for some reason, we're in this inverted yield curve. So it brings up a question, what defines a recession?
A recession is typically defined as two consecutive quarters of negative GDP growth. So we haven't had that since about 2007, 2008, and I don't think we're likely to have that anytime soon. I think what we're likely to see is a slowdown in growth, but that growth will remain positive as opposed to negative growth in GDP.
So very unlikely that as long as we have growth, we should be able in the short term to sustain our employment percentages, or is that naive?
No, I think that's a key. If you think about a recession, normally in a recession we have high unemployment. That's not the case today. We are at historic lows. We tend to have stagnant wages where wage growth recently has been relatively good. It's been more than inflation, so workers are earning a higher real rate of return. And we've, in recessions, tend to have falling retail sales, and yesterday retail sales numbers were very strong. So I don't think there's any evidence that we're headed toward a recession. We may slow down a bit, but I think we'll stay positive.
So what can be done to bring an inverted yield curve back to normal?
Well, I think the simplest thing, and we're hearing that from the administration and from other folks as well, would be to lower short-term interest rates, to swing the bottom or the short-term end of the curve down so that the slope of the curve is positive throughout. That would be the Fed lowering short-term rates or using other quantitative easing techniques.
So the other technique would be to increase the money supply? Is that the other arrow that's in their quiver?
They could possibly do that. I think that's a little less clear what effect it would have on the yield curve. Increasing the money supply would tend to weaken the value of the dollar. That would have some effect as well, and maybe would influence our trade deficit in a different way.
Now, that's a good segue into the next question. How do short-term rates in the United States compare with similar rates overseas?
Well, they're very different. Short-term rates here in the U.S. are positive. T-bills and short-term treasury debt, let's say, is around 2%. Whereas if you go to most of the European countries, Japan, you have negative interest rates, which is kind of crazy because, in effect, what that means is that you're being paid to invest because of the negative interest rates. Recently, we've heard numbers like $15 trillion worth of global debt is paying a negative rate of return. So you're better off putting the money in a cookie jar or under the mattress, so to speak, than lending it to governments or even corporations.
So do you see the Fed will work? What will the Fed do now? I mean, I know it's all speculative, but is it logical that they would bring rates down? Or I know there's a lot of tension in the media on this between the administration and seemingly the Fed.
Well, you're right in putting a finger on the administration and putting pressure on the Fed to lower interest rates. But I think there's also the fact that our rates are so much higher. We're pulling in a lot of money from overseas investors into treasury bonds and agency bonds, et cetera. I think the Fed will almost have to go to a lower rate to reduce the difference between the negative rates we see overseas and the positive short-term rates we have here in the U.S.
Well, this has been incredibly insightful. We certainly want to thank you for being with us today. And you just brought a lot of clarity to a difficult area where, you know, it could have taken someone hours to read different articles to really put together the same amount of knowledge. So thank you for that.
Well, Bob, it's a pleasure. And let me just maybe finish by saying that with this relatively flat yield curve, whether it's inverted or not, really puts a lot of political pressure on the Fed. And we can only hope that things will stabilize a bit going forward. But a pleasure to be with you as always.
On behalf of the PFP section, this has been Bob Keebler with Dr. Robert LeClaire. If you enjoyed this podcast, we highly encourage you to visit the PFP section website and access additional information. Stay tuned for Sarah Bradley, who will tell you how to find these valuable resources. And thank you for listening.
And thank you for sharing with our community of listeners. Want more information, resources, tools, and guidance on technical and practice management topics? Visit aicpa.org/PFP and check out the show notes for this episode as well. So if you're not already a member, think about joining the PFP section, which is designed to save you time, help you best serve your clients, and take your financial planning practice to the next level. You'll gain access to a robust selection of high-quality technical and practice management resources like guides, 24/7 access to an online learning library, client communication and education tools, up to 8 hours of free CPE, and more. Don't forget to leave us a review so we can continue bringing valuable and relevant content. And subscribe to our podcast channel so you don't miss an episode. Thanks for listening, and I look forward to next time.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered, and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.